Here.
One or two.
You do.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, just push the silver button.
So as it is right now, it comes across here and then goes around and up and connects into a line that goes across here and then feeds up from there. It's kind of been a pain in the butt because I'm the key holder for all their water. If anything happens, you know, there's a crack somewhere, then everybody's calling me. And I know that's not how Midway Irrigation, you know, pressurized system is supposed to work. Everybody's supposed to kind of have a connection from the road, right? And because of, and you guys had stated this with the history of the Van Wagners, because this was all theirs at one point in time, you know, they just had that line coming up and then spreading out to everybody. And so it wasn't an issue. Since we moved there, we bought this in 2015 and moved there, you know, it has been an issue. This will actually solve a lot of that because now you have pressure irrigation to each one of these lots, and it'll flow through, it'll continue to flow through here. Our plan is to move, I guess it comes up the road here. We'll continue that up through here and plug in, and then we would abandon the connection here. And so I don't think that there really needs to be downtime at all on it. I think that it'll kind of run simultaneously. There won't be any time
there. There might be a day or two as we tie the new line into the old line behind cap.
Yeah. But not for any long period of time.
That takes a day or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the
control
sewer easement that Van Wagner has going through your property?
Right here?
Yeah, that goes down at Underwood.
So the sewer would then flow down through here. Instead, this will be removed or abandoned, and obviously buildings will have to pipe in, but that will stay right there, especially if the Englefers buy their own that lot there. That'd be up to them to move it if they wanted to.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Come up to the...
Hi. My name is Leslie Miller, and I live kind of right about there. Okay. Anyway, I've been here for over 20 years, and I've submitted some comments with some concerns and mitigations that I would recommend, and I just wondered if you had a chance. I don't have a copy of that. Have you had a chance to read those and take those into consideration?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think.
Panel? Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. The other question I have is how many of you have actually been on this property and you have a sense of what this property is about? You know, we're talking about rural preservation, we're talking about history, so I, you know, am pretty confident that Mr. Berg and Mr. Malinka have taken into consideration most of the technical elements of a development. My concerns have to do with more the impacts of their development on the wildlife and on our residential neighborhood. So I can tell you that even where I live, and I'm on the south side of Tyson Miller's property, the development, that lot's development,
Raymond Farms,
it's excruciating.
She lives there.
It's more than excruciating.
Okay. So none of us ask for that, and I'm just asking you to consider the kind of impacts that a development this close to us will have in the way of construction traffic, noise, lack of supervision, no offense, Midway City, but there are workers, construction workers, who don't stop at 6 o'clock at night. And that grinding goes on all day long. It's not fair to us. Mm-hmm. So when you think about approving any development that's impacting a residential or rural area, that's part of our quality of life. And yeah, we can do all the technical stuff and make sure that, you know, this happens and there's sewers and there's, but to me, that's just a very small piece of what we're talking about here. And I just want to sort of focus you on some of the other aspects of an approval. So I listed a few things that are of concern to me. And I know that you might not be able, in your role, be able to address every single one of those elements. There is nothing more beautiful than hearing the cackle of those beautiful birds that fly over our fields and depend on that grass and waterland. And one of the things I want to ask Peter and Mr. Berg is that when you're siting your property or your residences on these properties, it will really increase the rural feel if those homes are more situated closer to your access points than shoved up against the boundaries. And I know how people build here. They're building McMansions. They're going to consume this whole piece of property, and all of a sudden, the height, the density, the mass of those buildings are going to impact me, the wildlife, the residential neighborhoods. And so I would ask you to take that into consideration. I think that those side yard setbacks, 10 feet is nothing. That's from here to you. You put a 30-foot wall up there, that's ridiculous to me to then claim that that's some sort of rural feel. It isn't. So my suggestion is you increase those side yard setbacks to 30 feet. Push those buildings toward the toward your access points and leave those open areas. Create a limits of disturbance. So when your buildings are going up to these new homeowners, I know where that building pad is going to be. And I don't know if that's a requirement now in the code, but I think it ought to be. And then finally, I'm going to suggest that in the future, the city consider, and this is a little pet peeve of mine because I love trees and I think they serve a purpose in this community. They cool our atmosphere, they provide habitat for birds, obviously, and other little animals. It's fine if a tree is dead, but if a tree is a living thing, I think there should be some process before it's removed. So there's a certified arborist who says, yeah, that has to be taken away, not because somebody wants to, you know, put a house there and it, oh, by the way, it's an obstruction. It's like, okay, well, let's take that into consideration. Maybe site the house elsewhere. I'm just asking, I'm begging you to be sensitive to these elements of our rural community. And there is wildlife on those fields. Peter knows it. I know he knows it. I know he understands that those cranes are there and that there are other dependents that need that open space. So as you're thinking about your 5-lot subdivision and the homes that are going to be built there, I'll take the construction traffic and the dust and the noise if you would just commit to protecting some of those wild agricultural landscapes. You can do that. You have that right to do that, and you have that ability. And you guys have the ability and the imagination to see something beyond what we're starting to see in this community, which is an incremental crunching of our open spaces. Every development you approve takes away from what we claim we want. So I'm just asking you to take that into consideration as you look at this yet another development. And I'm going to tell Peter, he's a good neighbor, I'm not opposed to the idea of your right to capitalize on this property. I'm just saying that there has to be some, or there should be some benefit beyond the reduced density to the community and to the neighbors who are going to experience this impact, the construction, the noise, etc. So I really appreciate you letting me have my say. Thank you for reading my comments, and I hope you'll take those mitigation measures in mind. My last thing is plastic panel fencing. Forget that. That should be out loud. They're hideous. I mean, just not aesthetically, but they create walls. Those deer that live in that field in the back, you start putting walls up there, just like the elk 20 years ago that used to call that habitat, they go, they die, they have to go somewhere else. So So come on, let's like think about all those things. Thanks.
Thank you.
I just have a tiny bit to add to that. We have felt pretty beat up on 250 North lately. We've got 10 homes being built in front of us and soon to 5 behind us. And, you know, we had to come in and state why we didn't want 250 North to be extended. We've just had a lot lately. And we would like as much consideration as possible as this moves forward. But I understand why it's happening.
Thanks. One more comment?
So the north-south road that's on the map would connect up to the future second north, but not up to 250.
Okay. So with this arrangement, there would be a second north one either.
Yeah, there would be a second north or an extension of first east. Basically, what you're seeing on the map is what it would be without any roads. As possible, the Millers could develop over here, but there wouldn't be any roads connecting.
Right.
My comment would be we don't see the configuration of where the housing would be. Is that sometime happening? Or we can decide where?
We don't do that for subdivisions. The city's asked us to not be putting pads on subdivisions.
So there might be a consideration of a 30-foot on the side if people choose.
You could volunteer that. Is that accurate?
No?
They've asked me to not.
The
people that buy the lots could. Midway City is a practice that said to not put building pads on subdivision plats because then they have to enforce it.
Well,
they don't want to do that. So they want to just stick with the city ordinance.
So we have setbacks per zone.
30-32.
So that's what's followed is the setbacks per zone. And the city council has changed those. If we put building pads in the city council, they changed the setbacks that wouldn't apply to those plats. So there's advantages to not having building pads, but there's advantages to having them too. So it's kind of, you can't win either way to a certain degree. But we have increased the setbacks in quite a few of the zones lately just to create that more open feel within the subdivision, especially the acre and half acre zones. That's where it really expanded quite a bit.
Okay, so.
Can I just offer a response to some of those comments?
Sure.
So in response to some of the things that you mentioned, I've actually have been coming to the city council and some of the planning commission meetings during the general plan process and arguing for some of those same things. Now, I know oftentimes I get a perception that, oh, he's always representing development, so he's the face of the evil empire, but that's okay. But I argued for some of the same planning issues that you're talking about. Ask for reduction in density, doing planned performance developments that would allow for some of the things that you just talked about. But that's not in the code right now, and it didn't even make it into the general plan. So we can only go by the codes that are in place. For a subdivision, you have to meet widths and areas. And the current practice is to not have building pads. So what you proposed of clustering is a great idea. But I can't do that in a subdivision. So we presented a plan that meets.
You're going to make me counter you, Paul.
Okay.
There's two sides to every story. Plan performance developments go both ways. Usually you're increasing density with a plan performance development, and I've worked with them directly in years past. And so you're adding amenities, but you're also increasing density as you have a plan performance development. Building pads, you could put a building pad on these properties. There's nothing in the code that says you couldn't put your own building pad on the property, but it's not something we require in the code.
Have you allowed it on other projects recently?
We have, for instance, Kevin Payne's project down on Stringtown Road.
You've turned me down on a lot of plats where we've put them on. So if you're going to allow me to do it here.
I'd want